Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to The Jump, fueled by Marathon.
Today's opening tip, Trey Young showing off the handle before dropping this dime. A little easy dunk there.
Wow.
How are you going to guard this?
Watch this one.
How do you guard that?
Becoming one of the best PGs in the league right now.
Look at that.
Ooh. Unbelievable. It's one thing to shoot the way he shoots, but to pass a ball like that too.
And this was not his best play of the game. We will show his best play of the game in a little bit. That's just a little appetizer for you. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, joined by the Hall of Famer, Jackie McMullen. And, hey, look, it's NBA champion Kendrick Perkins is back in the building.
Welcome.
Kendrick is fantastic, A, because he's so much fun, B, because he's so smart, C, because he played in the league so long and has a ring, and D, because he played with everybody. So you are going to give us personal experience on pretty much everyone in the show today. We will get to that in a minute. Coming up, we will dive into Trae Young's big game last night. Is it fair to compare him to Steph Curry in year two? Kendrick has thoughts on that as well. They just might be the opposite of what you think. Stick around for that. Kawhi Leonard is scheduled to play tonight as the Clippers face the Rockets. This is notable because it's a Wednesday night on ESPN, and Leonard has missed the past two Wednesday national TV games to not a small amount of controversy. And it's notable because it puts Kawhi, two-time Finals MVP and two-time Defensive Player of the Year, on a court opposite former MVPs James Harden and Russell Westbrook. The clash of Kawhi, considered the best perimeter defender in the game, versus Harden, who continues to score at rates that, frankly, can only be described as obscene. I mean, it has the potential to be spectacular. And honestly, the promise of that thrill is the reason fans get so riled up about load management in the first place. No one wants to feel robbed of what was sold to them on the schedule. Which brings me to the other LA team. The Lakers will tonight have LeBron James, who, despite being in year 17, a time in Tim Duncan's career when the Spurs would put DNP old, remember, next to his name. LeBron, on the other hand, routinely plays back-to-backs and recently told our Dave McMenamin, quote, "If I'm healthy, I play." He then added that if he needs rest, he'll get it when he retires. Quote, "I probably got a good 45 years to not play basketball," he said. So that's LeBron, but Anthony Davis is another story. He will sit out after piling up a series of recent injuries. It all started 2 weeks ago when AD jammed his shoulder on a missed dunk. Perk, look at this, and you can see it on the close-up a little bit more. Watch. Yeah, you can feel that when you watch it.
Right.
He kept playing through it, though, and then this past Sunday night, again, still playing with that shoulder. This was against the Raptors. He went for the block against Pascal Siakam and aggravated it more. The medical staff examined Davis on the bench but decided he could stay in the game, which he not only did, he played 38 minutes, saying, quote, "Hey, there's never a play I don't feel it, the shoulder, but it happens. I want to play." Last night, that's what you're seeing video of now, as the Lakers faced Phoenix. He got hit in the ribs. He had to leave the floor, but just long enough for him to get taped up by the training staff. He returned to play again, a total of 38 minutes, and this is why.
I just want to play. Like I said, it's tough for me to leave from the sideline. And so now that makes sense, obviously. But the more I can be on the floor and help this team win, you know, that's what I try to do.
"Hard for me to lead from the sideline," he says. AD would undergo an x-ray before leaving Phoenix. To the team's relief, it showed no rib fractures. So, yeah, technically, AD could have been available to play tonight, and I actually bet that convincing him to sit took some work. Davis is aware he's still often referred to as injury-prone. Even though if you actually look at the numbers of his games missed due to injury, he has been much healthier in recent years. Last year, obviously, a little anomaly with the trade request. Still, perceptions are hard to shake, and we sometimes see players going overboard to prove critics wrong. Remember Joel Embiid last year? He was so eager to shed any perception that he was fragile. He overdid it during the regular season and was hobbled for much of the playoffs. It's going to be crucial for the Lakers to make sure that Davis doesn't fall into that same trap. Personally, I get the whole "I can sleep when I'm dead" philosophy, but the truth is, the human body is more vulnerable to major injuries when it's already stressed with little ones, which is actually part of the science behind load management in the first place. It's a complicated paradox. When stars sit too much, it hurts the league overall. If you keep telling fans the regular season doesn't matter, eventually they will believe you. But also, if stars don't sit occasionally, they are more likely to be off the floor later when it really matters, which also isn't good. Fortunately, tonight, with LeBron, Kawhi, Harden, and Russ, we're going to get quite a show regardless, even despite that on yet another Wednesday, we'll have yet another superstar in a suit. So, Perk, I teased at the beginning, you played with everybody. You played with AD in New Orleans. What is your reaction to missing tonight's game? Were you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised, and I think the Lakers should monitor this very carefully. Far as with AD's shoulder injury, this has been going on for about 5 years now.
Yeah,
far as with his shoulder. That's why he always wear that undersleeve under his jersey, the sleeve under his jersey. But they should manage this throughout the course of the season because, you know, he's actually hurt. So the load management does, you know, that I agree with this far as with Anthony Davis because he, as we see in these videos, he's hurt. He's injured. But he keeps fighting through it. That's AD. I remember in New Orleans, we used to have to force him to sit down when he had a strained shoulder or whatever the case may be. He wants to be on the court. But I think this is a great decision by the Lakers, sitting him out tonight against Golden State. You know, after playing a big game last night in Phoenix against a tough Phoenix Suns team. So I think the Lakers are doing the right thing right now.
By the way, how funny is that, how things change, how quickly the league changes? You've seen it so many times over the years. It was important to get him against that tough Phoenix Suns team, but against Golden State, Kendrick says, you can afford to sit him out.
Right. Give Kyle Kuzma a little action at the starting four. Yeah.
So I'm gonna take it a step further, Kendrick.
Okay.
I think they should sit him for a week, maybe longer. You've just told me something I didn't know, that this is an injury that's 5 years old, that's a continuing injury. You know how shoulders can be.
Right.
And they can devastate your career and your season. Now, Anthony Davis has never played 82 games. That's not his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he has averaged, I think, 60. I'm taking the 10 games out from last year. It doesn't count. He's averaged about 66 and a half games over the course of his career. That's sort of the ideal load management in today's NBA, isn't
right.
it? I would keep him out as much as I need to make sure he's healthy, because you're right. This isn't about making sure you're fresh and getting sleep. This is about an existing injury that could really torpedo the Lakers' chances.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny. I asked you if you were surprised, because I know that you have that track record with Anthony Davis, and it is hard usually to convince him to sit, because he is, I think, in his head always, you know, fighting that perception of him that he's fragile or that he's injury prone. When you woke up this morning, I know you thought he was going to play this game, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was like, I'm going to the Staples Center to get to watch AD and Braun tonight. But he wants to be out there. You know, guys read the articles, guys listening to everything that people say about him. And one thing about AD, he's a prideful guy.
Sure.
He wants to be out there. He loves the game. He eats, sleeps, and breathes basketball. He's not with all the extracurricular things outside of basketball. And that's the one thing that I love about the guy.
But he shouldn't be LeBron, though. See, LeBron wants to play 82, sleep when I'm dead, Warren's even, all that's all well and good. But we also know LeBron should be sitting. He just should.
Yeah.
And I understand it, too. I understand that's the warrior mentality.
There's an old school mentality.
Absolutely.
But they should absolutely be sitting him as well as they go through the course of the season. And Anthony Davis should not be influenced by the guy next to him in his locker that are saying those things.
I'll tell you what, Jake, good luck with that one.
Well, again, Kendrick's played with both
not
of those
job,
guys.
Yeah.
He played with LeBron, and you know that anyone measuring themselves up to, oh, LeBron can do this, I should be able to do this too, LeBron just has a different physical standard than really anyone we've ever seen in the NBA.
Well, I mean, the
right?
guy spends $2 million on his body every year He gets treatment around the clock. I've never seen anything like it for us with LeBron. Mm-hmm. He makes sure the sacrifices he put into his body, and, you know, the dedication that he has is unbelievable. And I've been around some great players, but the way he carries himself and the way he goes about it is just unbelievable.
Well, there is an NBA owner who likes, Jackie, to your point of, hey, we should be taking this even further. This is Mark Cuban's opinion on load management.
He'll get over it.
Mark Cuban always has something to say. I think it's the best thing that ever happened to the league, Mark Cuban says. I'm all for load management. Worse than missing a player in a regular season game is missing him in the playoffs. Perk, do you think that Cuban has a point here at all about the long game?
Mark Cuban again? Last time I was on the show, he was talking. Like, listen, okay, it's cool if you know for sure. And it's not promised to any team, but you know, we kind of know the teams that's going to make the playoffs in the NBA. But if you're a team that you don't know if you're going to make the playoffs, then you can't live by this load management thing. Like, if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to do the load management thing. You don't know if you're going to get in the playoffs. So if you do the load management thing that Mark Cuban is talking about and you don't make the playoffs, then what happened? You lose anyway, right?
Right. But I think you – and I understand you're an old school guy, and I get why this is hard for you. But we have the data now. We have the science. It tells us that it can make your career longer and better. And you can be healthy to make a playoff push in April if I'm taking care of you in December and January. I'm not saying what Kawhi Leonard is doing. Don't misunderstand.
Right.
Because that's completely different. So I believe load management makes sense, but you have to be transparent about it.
Yeah.
And clearly that has not happened with the Clippers. And so I understand why the league is upset about how that all went down with the Clippers. I totally get that. There is a way to make this work. For instance, I have Porzingis, who's coming off a year out because of a torn ACL.
Correct.
I'm going to be very careful about how I use him over the course of his first few months back. And if that means I'm going to sit him for a game here and there, I'm going to do it, Perkin. You and I are going to be at odds, but I'm still going to do it.
Well, I had the same injury as Porzingis. I had ACL. I was back in 7 months.
And I know.
I didn't sit out a game. So, but my thing is this, Rachel and Jackie, is that it's not fair to the fans, and it's disrespectful to the ones before us who paved the way. You look at the guys in the 80s and the Larry Birds and the early 90s where these guys were getting paid $1 million, $2 million, and they was putting their bodies out on the line every single night. And here we are, the fans is why these players in today's game are able to get paid $30 to $40
okay.
million dollars a year, and it's not fair to the
okay.
fan base.
So let's talk about Bird and McHale and those guys. Kevin McHale played on a broken foot, Perk, in 1987. They told him the space would get bigger in his foot and he'd be permanently disabled. He is. Larry Bird used to play a playoff game, go to the hospital, and go into traction overnight, and they'll go back. Have you seen Larry and the amount of back surgeries and troubles he's had as he retired? That's what they're trying to save these players from. I think if you ask Kevin McHale and Larry Bird now, could I have a little load management? I think they would have said, put it in a big bowl and put some applesauce
on top. Okay, but don't you think part of the problem, too, is the terminology and phrasing? And I agree with you on transparency, but sometimes in the first attempt at transparency, maybe we haven't gotten exactly right, and what we call all of this would change the way people feel about it. First of all, there's a designation on the injury report that's a difference between load management for injury illness versus load management for rest.
For rest.
I don't understand that at all. I've gotten into arguments with people in the league office about that.
If it's just rest,
you can take a nap at a different time of day.
Right.
You don't need to rest. All load management should be revolving around health. It's all around injury, right? Kawhi Leonard's load management, which is the most extreme that we have seen, is about preventing injury. It's not because he's tired. It's not because he needs to rest. It's because his body and the condition in his leg is clearly sensitive enough that if he plays a full 82-game schedule, he said it last year, I would not have made it through the playoffs. They would not have won a title. So it's not rest to me. It is injury. And if you want to call what he sits out with, we expect tomorrow to be knee or leg instead of load management, that would be accurate. And I just think that would make fans understand and feel better. And I don't know if players have a problem with being called injured if they feel they're not, or if that's sort of the...
I agree with that. I just wanted to add some humor to it. I guarantee you if Larry Bird and Kevin McHale was getting $35 million and $40 million, they'd be a lot more happier with these injuries.
That is true.
These people are getting a bankroll.
But if you're Kawhi, I don't think – if you have a Kawhi on every team, you're sunk. I'm sorry. You cannot have a player on every team, a superstar, sitting out that many
games.
That's a big problem for the league.
That goes back to, do we shorten the schedule? I know a lot of players are against that, but Kevin Arnovitz said on the show last week, which I thought was a great sentence, he said, the players and teams are deciding to shorten the schedule right now, whether the NBA likes it or not. So the NBA might want to catch up in terms of what they're selling to fans and TV networks. Coming up, the Knicks allow Kobe White to drain seven threes in the fourth quarter last night. Now, after falling to 2-9 on the season, have the Knicks hit rock bottom yet? How many times have I asked that question?
Sure.
We'll ask it again
in the last two days.
First, though, this is our distant replay from this date in 1996 featuring Chris Weber.
See, well. They've made them. Weber. Oh!
Rashawn Bradley.
Sometimes you forget how good C. Webb
was. He was so good.
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
So, yes,
over 7'6", Sean Bradley.
He's so underrated.
In the Hall of Fame.
Love C. Webb.
The Jump is presented by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
I'm not really sure about that.
It's a make or miss league.
Rachel, it's a make or miss league. How many times do I have to tell you?
I get tired of that.
Make movement. Check out the unselfishness from the Heat. Look here. All five players touching the rock.
And love it.
Beautiful.
Cole Myers, Leonard Dunk. Wait for it, wait for it. And
well coached.
And one, by the way, on that.
Beautiful ball movement.
That is.
This Heat team, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Lakers, by the way, had a record number of passes last night. I think the most from a Lakers team in 10 years or something like that. So passing contagious in the NBA right now.
Very contagious.
There you go. But this is beautiful. This looks really good. This team is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
They are. And those two rookies that they got are playing extremely well right now.
Arrow, man.
Miss everything. Tristan Thompson chases the ball into the backcourt.
I love it.
Makes a series of moves.
Oh, okay, double team.
Oh, it gets worse.
This is your guy. This is your guy, KB.
Oh, come on, double T.
But you know what this is. This dude has had the most miserable 2 years, the last 2 years. Yeah. Right? And he's finally playing well again. He's feeling his oats. I think we just give him a pass.
I'm going to give him a pass.
Please give him a pass.
He's been putting up 20 and 10 a lot. He's been playing great.
He hasn't been playing well. This was obviously a good game for the Cavaliers, even though they lost. They were playing a Philadelphia team without Al Horford. But
he just tried to go in his bag a little bit.
What the heck, man? Feeling it.
He tried to go in his bag.
He broke his ankles there, you could say.
Sorry, double T.
Make resourcefulness. Trae Young out and running.
This is
the play. Nutmegging Will Barton before hitting the sideline J. And then look where he turns his attention after singing the basket. He's like, oh, hello, Nuggets bench. Did you see that? Nice to meet you. I'm Trae Young.
Trae Young
did not make a lot, by the way, in his career, but all have mostly been to set up passes, right? We see these.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Setting up his own shot.
Remember when people were saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe they passed on Doncic. This kid is never going to be blah, 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 blah.
We will discuss Trae Young in a minute.
Love Trae Young.
This was so, wow.
I like his demeanor too.
He got swag.
Mm-hmm.
He got swag, but kind of in a respectful way.
Yeah.
Miss anticipation, rookie Darius Garland. This is the nice side for the Cavs in this game. He puts a series of moves on rookie Matisse Thybulle, who, by the way, we all think very highly of defensively, even though he's just a rook. But Darius Garland making him to pay there.
That's kind of like that old school dude that used to be at the park just giving everybody buckets. You know, his name used to be something like Perry Hill or somebody like that, just giving people buckets. Old school dude.
Rookie on rookie crime in this case last night. Make catching fire. Kobe White went off in the fourth last night versus the Knicks. 23 points in the final quarter of the basketball game, including 7 3-pointers.
All you can say is, wow.
Yes.
Wow, man.
Yes.
That's love, man.
That's good.
I believe J.R. Smith is the only person to ever do this before. Now, J.R. did it 3 or 4 times because he's J.R. Smith.
Right.
But wow, Kobe White. Wow. This is impressive, right?
He's going to make me start watching the Bulls a lot more just because of Kobe White.
He's been really fun. And Roy Williams, his old coach, was there. There was a very nice moment, by the way, where he gets on the mic at the arena to do his post-game interview, and it's broadcast throughout the arena, and Roy hears him and he's complimenting Roy and telling him he loves him. It's nice. It was very nice.
Like that.
Wow. That explosion from Kobe helped the Bulls outscore the Knicks 35-17 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
It dropped the Knicks to 2-9 on the season, tying the franchise record for most losses through 11 games. And again, I want to point out, the Knicks have had some bad seasons.
Yes, they
have. So this is among now the worst start ever. Coach David Fizdale has been put on the hot seat, but the players are publicly showing support for their coach. Kendrick, do we think the Knicks have hit rock bottom yet?
Yet.
Well, it could get worse, no?
Listen, Rachel, Jacob, they are 6 feet in the grave already, and it's been over the last 10 years. I mean, it's unfair to Coach Fizdale. The problem is Steve Mills. Like, But as of course, as always, you got to have a scapegoat. And so all of a sudden you blame Coach Fizdale when you set this man up for failure from the time that he got here. He didn't put this roster together. All he's supposed to do is coach the players. I blame Mills. And how long do he have before they, you know, move him out the way? He's the problem, not Coach Fizz.
You know what's incredible to me? After 10 games, they have this press conference to discuss the dysfunction of their team. How about the 10, 20 years that has gone on of the dysfunction of the team? I've never seen this before, Rachel. I've never seen anything like this. So have they hit rock bottom? I'm not sure they have. So what's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're going to fire Fizdale. They're going to try to bring someone else in. Who's going to take this job? But here's the other thing you worry about. R.J. Barrett, who was off to such a great start, and yes, I think we agree, is a great young player. Last 6 games in the month of November, he's shooting 35% from the floor, 48% for the line. It's going to affect this young man whatever you do, whether you stand pat, you make a change. He should be the person you're worried about. And what kind of message are you sending this young, talented player?
Well, according to Frank Isola, in the article that you just referred me to, Jackie, in The Athletic, he says that James Dolan was yelling at Steve Mills during halftime of that Cleveland game, which is what prompted that, as you said, so unusual. I don't know if people who don't cover the NBA realize, like, we never see management come out after 10 games.
While a coach is in a locker room.
While the coach is waiting to speak and basically say that this is unacceptable. Steve Mills has been in his position for, I believe, over a dozen years. And even before that, he worked in the Garden. So he and Dolan obviously have a close relationship.
And that's the problem.
Steve Mills worked through the Phil Jackson era. That didn't go well. No. He had this position as president through the Phil Jackson era. Yes. And then now through this era.
You cannot hire your friends. You got to hire the right person for the job.
Producer Steve, by the way, my ear, our Knicks fan, reminds me he was GM and then he took president.
But shouldn't we be talking about James Dolan? Because it didn't look to me like Steve Mills wanted to have that press conference. Well, James Dolan told him he had to do it. He sure didn't look like a guy to me that wanted to do it. It always starts at the top. It's at the top.
Jesus, we will be talking more about this later in the show, because guess who's coming to the Garden tomorrow? Kristaps Porzingis. Coming up next, we got the Rockets hosting the Clippers tonight on ESPN, which means we got a little Russell Westbrook, Beverly face-off. We're going to go through all their fireworks of old and talk about what we expect after this. You want to stay tuned to see this.
You are watching The Jump, fueled by Marathon.
This week's star-studded NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with the Clippers taking on the Rockets. Yes, you will see both of those gentlemen tonight. Then it's off to Staples Center for the Lakers hosting the Warriors. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Russell Westbrook, are you guys, good?
I don't know. You got to ask him.
I have no comment on it.
Oh, baby. They're going after it, aren't they? Pressure's got to calm down.
Beverly and Westbrook get into it.
They're still joining.
Is this the NBA or the WWE?
He was talking about he was first team all defense.
He's a really good player.
I had 42 at a time.
That's nice. He took 34 shots to get it.
Is there anything more fun than this stuff?
I can't wait to watch it.
This is going to be so good tonight to see Russ and Pat Bev go at each other again. Of course, Pat Beverly traded off the Rockets. That was a couple iterations of that team ago.
Right?
But still extra juice with that, too. Perk, what do you expect from these guys tonight?
I expect a heated battle. Listen, this is not fake. These two guys do not like each other. And, hey, I think it's good for the game. The only problem that I have with tonight's game is that I don't think that Patrick Beverly is going to be guarding Russ tonight. I think he's going to be guarding James Harden, and they're going to put Kawhi Leonard on Russ. But it's going to be heated. One thing about it, I know these two teams, they kind of don't like each other already.
Right.
And they're going to go at it. You know, Austin Rivers want to go at his daddy, and his daddy want to go at Austin Rivers. So I can't wait. I'm going to be front row and center watching in my room at the television.
So I'm pretty sure, like, every game, pregame, Pat Beverly's at home, and he's in his drawer, and he's like, okay, Roman candles. Oh, Catherine Wheel tonight. I'm looking at Catherine Wheel. And he stuffed them in his pants. And so now he's like, oh, I need two Catherine Wheels. So I think the best thing that can happen if you're Pat Beverly is you do your thing and you get Russ all revved up, mm-hmm. and then see where it takes you.
Yeah.
It benefits the Clippers if this kind of stuff starts.
Well, yeah, and by the way, it's not just now that they don't like each other. Remember, this secret tunnel. Okay, I know it's not a secret tunnel, but the secret tunnel was between the Rockets and Clippers. There is animus between these two teams.
Yes.
You played, again, Kendrick has played with everyone. Kendrick, you played with Russ for a while. What, to Jackie's point, if someone can get him riled up, does he sometimes make decisions that aren't the best for him if he sort of gets emotional about something?
Well, sometimes he'll take more shots. He take the matchup personally.
Right.
Yeah. And Russ has been, you know, to be honest, Russ has been playing beautiful basketball with the Rockets of late, making the right decisions and stuff like that. But trust me, he got this game marked on his calendar. It was his birthday yesterday, mm-hmm. and he's going to come out in full attack mode. He's going to come out, you know, I don't know if he's going to shoot 30 shots, but you're going to see aggressive Russell Westbrook tonight against Patrick Beverley.
It's going to be so
ooh,
good.
Gives you
I hear
chills.
The bell. Do I hear the bell? Oh, look, I hear the bell. It's the Stat Market opening bell. We give you the stats, and you buy or sell based on how likely they are to remain consistent. So it's not if you like the stat. It's basically, do you think that the number's going to go up or down? Let's start with the Clippers' offense. They are currently ranked 8th in offensive efficiency. This is despite Paul George not having played a game yet. So there's also room for improvement if you look at their shooting percentages. Perk, do you buy or sell on the Clippers that number 8 is going to go up and they're going to get better, or do you think this is the best they're going to be and they get a little worse?
I buy.
You're buying.
Yeah, it's going to go up when Paul George get back. Listen, you have 3 guys already on the court without Paul George that's capable of giving you 30 points, and Kawhi Leonard, Lou Will, and Montrezl Harrell. And then with an offensive-minded coach like Doc Rivers, it's only going to go up once Paul George get back.
Bye. Because think about the game. No, really, think about the game with the Raptors, what they did to Kawhi.
Yep.
You can't do that if Paul George is on the floor. You absolutely cannot do it.
Kawhi's offensive numbers haven't been quite as strong as we expected. He's played great when he's been out on the court, but I do think that putting that other star next to him, especially in situations like that, you heard the Raptors going into that game that they basically said, look, we play with this guy. We know how lethal he can be. It's okay if they beat us, but it's not going to be by him.
Right.
Well, you can't say that going into a game where Paul George is on the other side of the floor.
Right.
So I would buy. I want to move on to the Rockets, who have the fastest pace in the NBA after ranking 27th last year. Gee, I wonder who made the difference in that. You will notice their pace is much faster when, oh, look at that, Russell Westbrook is on the court. So, Jackie, do you buy or sell the Rockets keeping this fast pace up now?
I'm selling. I'm selling. So a pace of 113 with Westbrook on, 104 with him off. I don't think James Harden, this is good for James Harden. I don't think he can keep up with this pace. I don't think it favors him. Therefore, he's the most important Houston Rocket player. I think they got it. I'm sorry. I sell. You're looking at me funny, but I am. I'm selling.
I'm going shopping. I'm buying. I'm buying, Jackie. Listen.
You're not worried about Harden wearing down?
No. He's averaging almost 40 points. There's no wearing down.
But can he keep it up?
Yes, he can. You cannot look. One thing about Russell Westbrook and James noticed, you cannot go on the court and half step with Russell Westbrook. He's going to make you keep it up.
Yep.
So James has done a great job over the past years of following in the footsteps of LeBron James and taking care of his body. They have to keep it up. This is what the Rockets want. This is the Mike D'Antoni system. So I'm buying it. Russell Westbrook is going to, James averaging 40, but I'm starting to be convinced that this is more a Russell Westbrook team than it is James Harden.
Whoa, I don't know if I go that far, Kendrick Perkins. I will say, to your point about Mike D'Antoni, he's amended his famous 7 seconds or less. He says this team is 6 seconds or less. Ooh. I do think they need to keep this pace up with Russ for 2 reasons. To your point, Russ's value is only high when he is allowed
when
to play
like
Russell Westbrook. If you took that away from him, he's just not as valuable a player, and you want to maximize his value on your team. You also want to maximize the number of offensive possessions this team
has. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Because when you talk about how will these guys share and how will the offense works, everybody eats if there is more food to go around. You put the possessions down, all of a sudden it becomes a little bit more of a squabble on who is getting to shoot. So I think they have to keep it up. To your point, we will see if they can. Let's talk about the Lakers D. They are off to a great start defensively this season, ranked second only to the Jazz in defensive efficiency thus far. So, Jackie, do you buy or sell the Lakers maintaining that ranking throughout the season?
You know what? I'm going to buy it. I'm surprising myself with this answer. But do you know, and I did not make this point, one of their broadcasts did, there are six former All-NBA players on the Lakers. I know they're past their prime. I know all of that. But I like their defensive schemes. I like the way LeBron is playing. Mm-hmm. When LeBron plays this kind of defense, he's just the scariest player on the planet. And as they go, LeBron goes. As LeBron goes, they go. And I think they've made it a priority. And I think they're going to keep it up.
Well, I think I'm going to go broke today because I'm buying.
Because, listen,
I watched this team in the preseason, and they was on a mission. And I know it was the preseason, but I watched how they were playing on the defensive end. And, listen, a lot of credit has to go to Frank Vogel.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Although things didn't work out for him in Orlando, but when he had the Pacers, they were a defensive-minded team that were giving the Miami Heat at the time a very hard time. And now I'm watching LeBron James take charges, you know, chase down blocks again, which we haven't seen in years. You got Anthony Davis doing the same thing. You got Avery Bradley looked great. Danny Green looks great. And then
Rondo.
And then, oh yeah, for sure. But then to top it off, you have two elite shot blockers and JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard.
Absolutely.
So, hey, I'm buying. Matter of fact, I might go broke.
My only question about LeBron is, and I know, we all know him well enough that he was determined after everything he heard this summer. You heard, I heard I was washed. Well, you can meet me at the cleaners, that quote, right? All of that stuff. I get the eagerness to not just prove people wrong, but also set an example and be a leader and show that, hey, I'm actually caring about defense. Everyone should, and that's important in this part of the Lakers' schedule. But you can see in the numbers, it's not just the eye test. The number of shots he's contesting from opponents has gone up.
Significantly.
This is different than he has done the past few years. And the only thing I'm curious to see is if we get a different result this spring, if he has less gas available. The reason he did not play as much defensively the last 5 years isn't because he just stopped caring about basketball. It's because he was strategizing. I need to be 1,000% in May and June. Yep. And I don't know if he's putting his foot on the gas now is going to affect May and June. It might not. He's less
on
gas.
He never had an Anthony Davis.
That is true. That is the closing bell. The stat market is closed for the day. Kendrick, you can't spend any more money, but we'll be back with another edition soon. Coming up, that Trae Young conversation I promised you. Is it fair to compare him to Steph Curry in year two? Kendrick Perkins says yes, and he will tell you why.
I got a car you can buy from me.
Hey, look, it's what The Jump recommends for today. ESPN Chalk has a piece I'm reflecting on Adam Silver's op-ed in the New York Times about changing the league's public stance on gambling. Silver published that 5 years ago on this date. So it's interesting, right, to read this article today, kind of seeing how things have changed in the year since. Watch SportsCenter tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern. It's After PTI, Kevin Negande, and Keith Olbermann on ESPN and the ESPN app. Look at Trae Young. Ooh. Best game of the season last night. A season-high 42 points, 8 three-pointers. The Hawks winning a game on the road in Denver despite being 10.5-point underdogs. Trae tweeting after this, keep that same energy, people.
Wow.
Perk, you tweeted, Trae Young better than Steph in his first 2 years easily, and it's not even a debate. Explain.
Well, if you look at Trae Young right now, first of all, when he was coming out of college, everybody was saying Steph Curry. They was comparing him to Steph Curry. So that's the comparison. So when he got to the NBA, what he did last year in his rookie season, I was very impressed. But now when you look at his numbers right now, he's averaging 28 points. Steph averaged 18. He's averaging 8 assists. That's the thing that separates him from Steph, in my opinion, is that Trae Young actually makes people better. He could pass. He got dimes. I wouldn't be surprised in a year or two that he leads the league in assists with averaging 25 points. Like, This kid could flat out play. He could pass the ball. He makes guys better. And he's completely taking this Atlanta Hawks franchise to a whole nother level, in my opinion. You give Trae Young KD and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and see what he do with them.
Well, that's when I said he tweets to keep that same energy. To your point, there were all these Steph comparisons, frankly, back in college, right? And then he started getting doubled and triple teamed in college. He didn't have as good a back half of his season at Oklahoma. He got a ton of criticism. Comes into the NBA, has an uneven, right, rookie year, a little rough at the beginning, first half. Sure. Got a ton of criticism. People saying, oh, he's not like Steph after all. What's the Steph Curry comparison? Well, keep that same energy of comparing him to Steph. To your point, a lot of the numbers compared to Steph in year two show a very different kind of learning curve.
So to me, it's too early to really talk about this. I really feel that way. I think he's going to be a great player. Right. He's going to be an all-star forever. And you're right. Steph never, he's averaging 8.7 assists a game. Steph's never done that in his career. Right. He's a career 6.6. But let's not forget that Steph Curry revolutionized the game with the way he shot the ball. In fact, Trae Young, I believe, has said that he's watched Steph Curry play and says, I want to do that.
Absolutely.
So let's not forget that. So if you're asking me right now, I'm still taking Steph Curry in terms of one of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life. He's a career, Steph Curry, 43.5% three-point shooter. Now, Trae Young's shooting about 40% in year two. It was 32% last year. All I'm saying is, I love him too, but we got a ways to go before we should start declaring him better than Steph.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying he's better than Steph. No, I'm not saying that at all.
Good.
I'm saying his first 2 years, he's done more than what Steph done in his first 2 years. That's what I was comparing the first 2 years of each NBA of their NBA seasons. I wasn't saying that he's better than Steph. Yes, he has a ways to go to catch the green-eyed assassin.
Look at the shooting percentage, 3-point shooting percentage.
Right, but you know, I'm just saying right now in year two and compared to Steph year two, is not even debatable.
Well, and in terms of the way he can distribute the ball.
Yeah.
And look, any of these comparisons, you've seen so many of them over the years. Mm-hmm. So-and-so is the next Michael Jordan, right? How many guys went through that? So-and-so is the next LeBron. How many guys have gone through that? None of these guys are the next whoever. No one is going to be Steph Curry again. Trae Young is not going to be Steph Curry. But if you are going to make the comparison coming in, and to Trae's point and to your point, if you're going to hold him up against Steph early on and say, oh, he's failed, you have to, when he actually exceeds in some areas, you got to give him the credit.
You got to give him
And you know what they both share? Their teammates love them.
Yes.
They have some swag to them,
absolutely,
but they're also respectful of the game, their coaches and their teammates. And I love that about both of them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Trae Young is
they
so
got that killer in them.
Fun.
You? Yeah.
So much fun. Up next, we're going to talk about Joel Embiid. He is out tonight on a back-to-back. We will discuss how the Sixers are managing his minutes and how that could end in a different result come playoff time. First, though, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. Rudy Gay on this date in 2007. We had a lot of Rudy Gay on distant recently, and you will see why.
Talented players to really start.
Oh!
I knocked down several bowling pins on that one.
He sure did.
Oh, my God.
Who is that guy? Oh, that's Louis Scola. That's Scola hitting the deck.
God bless him, man. I got my cape on. Like superheroes do
about to take off. All right, high news coming up in just a few minutes. Hanging with Pablo, and we'll discuss if Colin Kaepernick's NFL workout will end with an actual signing.
Should the Rams trade Jared Goff?
It's time for the Giants to shut down Saquon Barkley.
And competitive cartwheeling. Stay tuned.
The Jump is presented by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
All right, a new season of 30 for 30 podcast is here. Episode one is juicy, man. Diana Taurasi, the GOAT, Sue Bird, the amazing, and the relationship they had with their Russian team owner.
This is going to be great.
This guy has the weirdest past. There's stories of him being a KGB spy, organized crime. Listen to check it out, 30 for 30 podcast now. And basically, wherever you get your podcast, you can get this one. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Projected number one pick, James Wiseman, playing last night on the court. Isn't that amazing? Memphis coach Penny Hardaway says Wiseman reminds him of Chris Bosh and David Robinson. No pressure. Perk, who do you think is the best comp for Wiseman?
I see him as a little Kevin Garnett in him. Me, personally.
He's no pressure
long.
From you.
Yes,
cannot believe you're saying this right
now. He's long. He's lanky. He can run the floor. He's athletic. I kind of like the kid, man. I think his upside is right there, but he kind of remind me of a little of Kevin Garnett.
How much cursing does he do?
KG, can he bang his head? Is he going to bring that?
He has to learn that type of stuff, though.
You're born with that. You don't learn that. You don't learn that stuff. I'm around KG enough.
Very happy to see this kid back on the basketball court playing, though, because really,
KG,
that's what he should be doing. We could get into a much longer
one.
We won't do that now. All right. Before last night's game, Brett Brown said Tobias Harris is, quote, my new J.J. Redick.
Oh, please.
Which was bad timing because Tobias then shot 0-for-11 from three versus the Cavaliers. He's actually shooting a career low 22% from deep this season. So is this pressure being put on Harris from the coaching staff, or do you think that was to get him going?
Yeah, I think it was just a comment that Brett made, and then now it's accented because the guy put up a donut. But look, Tatum went 1-for-18. Porzingis went 1-for-14. Welcome to the club. It happens some nights. Yeah. Just get past it.
Yeah. What do you think, Perk?
I'm not high on Tobias Harris. I don't know what made Brett Brown say this. God bless his soul. But, you know, he is nowhere close to J.J. Redick. And this is why I'm not high on Philly, by the way, coming out of the East. I'm not high on them at all because I think they took J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler for granted. I think they really paid Tobias Harris. And I don't have a problem with somebody getting paid, but he could have earned it. I think they should have waited it out because he's a guy that I feel like that could be replaced. He's not a guy. He haven't made an all-star game or nothing to that nature or proven himself to be that elite player or that top player that could go out there in the playoffs and get you 30 a night. So I think they kind of dropped the ball on that one.
I mean, it's just an interesting comp to me just because they're very different players.
Well, they
so
are.
I thought it was a strange
I mean, I would have kept Butler
to
over Tobias Harris, so I would have paid Butler the money over Tobias Harris.
Yes, easily.
Well, Sixers is going to be under the microscope again tonight. Our league pass game of the night is Philadelphia at the Orlando Magic. Philly now a 2.5-point underdog in this one.
That
and you might say, why? Well, they're on a back-to-back, and they are resting Joel Embiid. Plus, Markelle Fultz will get his first real shot at the team that drafted him number one overall and eventually traded him. Now, they did play once in preseason,
but
it's different when it's the real season. Is this a revenge game for Markelle Fultz?
Absolutely. I like the kid, Fultz, and I think he's going to come out with a ton of energy tonight. Anytime you play a former team, except for myself, when I played the Celtics, I just could never say, oh, I'm about to go kill the Celtics.
Right. Because you love them too much.
Yeah, my heart was there. So it was just hard for me. But the way he feels and the way Markelle Fultz been playing and all the chatter that he heard, he's going to come out. He should come out with a chip on the show. We're going to see what he's made of tonight.
See, I feel the exact opposite. I think Markelle Fultz is finding his way. He's shooting 47% now. He's averaging about 9 points a game. They're smart. They're playing about 23 minutes. They're saying, we're going to ease you back in. He's still having some shoulder issues from time to time. This kid should just play. Just take this as another game. He should just be concentrating on his own trajectory going forward. And the best thing this kid could ever do is just forget about the past completely.
Well, there's no one game where he has to prove himself. The truth is the whole season he's going to
and
need
he's on
to
his
prove
way.
Himself,
he's doing
and
a nice
he's
job.
On his way to doing it.
But how about not having a breakout game against your former team?
Well, Embiid won't be there. Embiid won't be there. It's the fourth game he's missed this season. Two of those, of course, were on suspension, so you can't really include those. It's Philly's first back-to-back of the season, though, and we are seeing him stick to what he said in training camp, Jackie. I am not going to go overboard early. I'm going to let them rest me early so I can play well later. You like it?
Why didn't they do this last year?
Well, they tried. They did try.
Well, but you see, this is what I'm saying. You can't try. You have to tell the player, I have your best interest at heart, and you're going to sit tonight. I know my friend next to me is not going to love that. But this makes sense for Embiid. I was there in the postseason, and I spent two days with him, wrote a story about what he was going through just to get on the court to make that knee work. He wasn't day-to-day. He was minute-to-minute. That's the worst possible scenario for the Sixers.
No, I agree with this for us with Joel Embiid. Looking at his list of injuries, like, he had injuries that kept him out for a whole season.
Right.
Like, whether it was his knee, his back, or whatever the case, his foot. So I agree with this 100%.
All right, this just in at our buzzer. Kristaps Porzingis talking at practice. He plays at Madison Square Garden tomorrow.
Hungry for success in basketball. And for them, for the fans, and for the city to be going through this year after year, it's got to be tough. So it's always a lot of pressure, and when things are not going right, immediately there needs to be changes. And this year is no different.
Okay, is Porzingis getting cheered or booed tomorrow night?
Booed.
Well, it's hard. We don't know who, because they might be booing the Knicks also. So it's going to be booing all over the arena. We don't know who's getting booed.
We'll find out, and we'll talk to you about it. Nobody's